So 20 years and 1 week ago, this happened. That church is Ngambia Uniting Church. It was part of the three churches that I was pastoring, ministering to at the time. Phone call came through to say, a truck's hit the church. You should probably go and have a look. Turns out a truck did hit the church, completely nailed it. There's a lot more to share about this story, but what was fascinating is a number of hours later, as the this was about 10 o'clock in the morning, a number of hours later, as the light went down, they pulled the truck, they dragged the truck out of the church, and the roof fell in, and then they went about, they brought an excavator, and they made it safe. So they knocked down all the bits and pieces that would otherwise be safe and put a fence around it. And so then the following day, I was there when it happened, so the following day I came back and went to see what on earth remained and what it was like. And when the truck, and the building room was probably about this size, so it came in through here and obliterated everything inside. It was traveling at about 80 kilometers an hour, and everything from the pews and everything else was completely splintered and smashed and unrecognizable, with one exception. In the front of the church, there used to sit a little table about here. And on that table sat a Bible, exactly the same as this one, because it is this one. So this Bible sat on the chair, and if you could imagine, there being rubble and bricks like the whole site of here, and then a table with bricks all around it and the Bible sitting there literally like this for everyone to see. I was absolutely gobsmacked. And it spoke to me of this huge metaphor for the Bible. This, that when everything else around us is destroyed or crumbles or falls away or is annihilated or ceases to exist, including the church, the Word of God still remains. The Word of God still remains. Jesus gave us himself in word form to anchor us to God. In fact, in John 1:1, this is what it talks about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the Word, he was God in the beginning. If Jesus had a nickname over Messiah and Savior and those other things, we would call him the Word. Jesus is God's mouthpiece to us. Jesus has been God's mouthpiece since the dawn of time, even before there was anyone to hear those words that were spoken. In fact, when those words were spoken, all of creation came into being as God spoke. The Word of God is Jesus. The Bible is the Word of God, which means through the words of the Bible, you can meet with and speak with Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege we have. So have you ever considered this? And this may be a bit challenging, that how you treat the Bible is actually how you're treating Jesus. That's challenging, right? Now, I, or any other preacher you might listen to, or any other author you might read, we cannot be the only reading of the Bible you do. You get to hear the word spoken on Sundays. It's essential, but it can't be the only reading. Nobody else can actually read the Bible for you. The vision God has shared with us is to partner with him. It's to bring the kingdom of God to earth, and the Bible shows us what it looks like when it's fulfilled. It shows us the challenge of bringing that vision to bear of the kingdom of God finally coming to earth. And not only can we not know Jesus fully without the scriptures, we can't participate in the vision of God without immersing ourselves every day in the Bible. Now, if you do read the Bible every day, and I know there's a number of you here that go, that's part of what I do, it will create in you an uncomfortable tension. Because as you read it, you will be drawn into this vision, and your assumption, your conclusion will be, that's not how it is now. That's who God wants us to be and who God is calling us to be, and that's who Jesus is and how ministry is. And my experience of this world isn't yet that. That's a good thing. That tension is a good thing because that is the fuel that God wants us to partner with Him on. It fuels us to say, God, I'm so frustrated that what is now is not what your kingdom needs to look like. How can I partner with you? What do you need me to do? How should I do that? I'm going to take a step-by-step approach to this with you, God. Now, this month's Transformation Trek, give me a wave of the Transformation Trek if you have one. Oh, yeah. Yep. You should all have one. You're going to need it in a few minutes. Have you guys got one? Yeah, it's the other booklet. Yep, there it is. It's called Wielding the Word. Wielding the Word. It's an invitation from God into community with Him. It's an invitation from God to be consumed by the vision of His Word. You see, when we read the Bible, it welcomes us into a different rhythm of living. It's one of the values of reading the Bible. It welcomes us into a different rhythm. It offers us a different perspective on our own lives. It shows a different approach to the things that are ahead, and it allows a different voice to be spoken into all the noise that can occupy our headspace. In fact, every struggle you are facing now, God wants to speak to you about it through His Word. Every struggle. In Hebrews, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When we read the Bible, we can, if we choose, offer permission to Jesus to do surgery on us. A very specific and careful and calculated surgery where He pries us away from our very lives, from our attitudes and our agendas, from our needs and our wants, our hurts, our regrets, our shame, our pride. The Word separates us from those things if we trust it, if we read it, if we surrender to it, which is part of the problem. We can read the Bible with a cold heart. We can read the Bible because it's what we've always done or what we should do or it was told about in church. And if I don't, what's the preacher going to think of me and all that rubbish? We can read it with a cold heart and not hear Jesus at all. See, the law can be found in the Scriptures just as easily as freedom can be found in the Scriptures. It's depending on what our heart is searching for. But Jesus wants to do this different work with us. He wants to do this different surgery. He wants our permission to graft His life to ours. That's the surgery. He wants to graft His life to ours, or our life to His. So as we read the Scriptures with a heart that says, God, I just want more of You, Jesus does that. He pries us away from all the things we don't actually want and grafts us to Himself. That's what He's saying in John 15 that we read as we were led into communion, that we celebrated earlier. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As we trust and obey Jesus' word, we are grafted to Him. You know, there are so many people, as many Christians as people that aren't Christians, who are hungry for a life lived in the rhythm and presence of God and aren't experiencing it. We're hungry to feel with the heart of God and to make decisions with the wisdom of God and to enjoy the companionship of God. To be guided by the Spirit of God, to know the rest of God, to be emblazoned with the passion of God. Every moment of every day, it is a hunger of us, and now is the time. Now is the time. We don't want to be a people who look back and go, we should have given it more. We should have surrendered more to Jesus. We should have picked my Bible up a bit more. We don't want to live with those regrets. We want a people that say, now is the time, it's today. And reading and loving and dwelling in the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, it is beyond essential to live the life that we're called to live. It's an absolute imperative. And so we're going to do it now. We're going to do it now. We're going to kickstart the process. Now, some of you are daily avid readers. You're well adept at reading the scriptures and letting it speak to you. It's such a comfort space for you. And for some of you, it may very well be the first time you've read the Bible. Like for myself, yeah, I'm not sure. Does that church is good because that guy seems to be qualified. Yeah, we'll leave it to him. But reading the Bible for myself, that's shaky ground. We're going to do that right now. You've got the three passages, and you can choose one of those three passages. But what I want you to do is go to page 6 of that booklet, The Wielding the Word, page 6. It should look very, very similar to what's on the screen next. Go one more. Two more. Left you behind. Another one. And one. There it is. Everyone see that? Okay, that is your guide. This is what we're going to do. SOAP is an acronym for how we read the Bible. So we take S means scripture. I choose a scripture. So I've chosen three. You can read whatever parts of any of them that you like. O is the observation. God, what are you wanting me to observe through this? A is the application. Now that I've observed it, what do I do with it? And P is prayer. And if you want to get SOAPs, you can then share it. But I'm not sure that works with the acronym. I don't know about you. But anyway. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. What's the time? Yeah. 5 minutes. I want you to choose one of them. You don't need to read them through to choose. Just choose one of the three readings. I want you to read it through, and as you read it through, ask God the question, what are you wanting me to observe? And when God speaks to you, when something grabs your attention, when it arrests your imagination, that's it, then ask the question, how do you want me to apply this to whatever's going on in my life? And we spend 5 minutes just in prayerful reflection, reading, thinking through. You can feel free to use your phones or any other, if you want to write this stuff down, please feel free to do that. And then what we're going to do is once we've done that, we're going to turn to the couple of people around us. So no more than three, because otherwise it won't work. The groups will be too big. And you share your observation and application. And then you can pray for one another in that. We'll spend 5 minutes doing that. So this is to show you that in 10 minutes a day, you can transform your life spiritually if you apply yourself in these ways. All right. So let's do that. I'll put a timer on so you don't need to worry about that. You just enter into the process. Read the scripture, observe and apply.